chest or heart pain. This recording will begin with some statements that are in the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Three quotes that are prior to the preface, which means this is really the beginning of the text content, are as follows. 1. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Those are words of Jesus that were reiterated by John chapter 8. The second, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. Shakespeare. And the third one, by Mary Baker Eddy herself. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. This is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere. In examining these three quotes, which are intended to outline the theme of the entire textbook, we have the scientific formula for the system of divine metaphysics. Looking on page 146 of Science and Health, and this is also at the top of every page of our website in the header, it states, divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus' healing was based and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. That is page 146, starting with line 31 of Science and Health. The second quote is extremely important because it is a quote by Shakespeare which states, there is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. This ties exactly in with the first one, which is, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we look at the definition of God on page 465, it says, God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. If we look at the book by Helen Wright entitled Your Divinity Revealed, and that is chapters 4 through 10 relate directly to the seven synonymous terms, one chapter being for each term. So chapter 4 is regarding mind. Chapter 5, spirit, and so forth. We find that not only there, but also in the series of books, which underline where each of those seven synonymous terms are utilized in the textbook, we find that mind includes creative capacity. It also includes omniscience, and within omniscience is omni-intelligence, omni-knowing, and omni-wisdom. So if we look at the first quote again, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, that is telling us that we need to feed that into consciousness by what Shakespeare tells us. Nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. What would be the intelligent thing for us to know? Certainly that truth is what we need to focus on, We need to know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If we focus on the truth instead of the problem that seems to be facing us, whatever it is, whether it is chest pain, heart pain, or anything else in the entire possible thought. And that's a big realm. In fact, it's really infinite, because all thoughts really should come from God, and God is infinite. So if we focus on the angel messages, which are the thoughts from God, then we have everything to consider as a thought. And obviously, we want to consider only the ones that are godlike. So what happens if we focus on those thoughts from God, which is truth? Well, number one, it says right off that we will be made free. And what are we going to be made free from? Well, look at the definition or the statement of scientific being on page 468. So if we want to know what our being is all about, in other words, ourselves, then we need to look at the scientific statement of being, which states, there is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind, and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is His image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Now, how can we use this? We can substitute words. If it says there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter, we can merely say there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of chest pain or heart pain. Or rather, chest pain includes heart pain. So we can say there's no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in the belief of chest pain, which includes heart pain. The next sentence, all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. So those are facts about God, facts about all existence, facts about the fact that there is no life, truth, or intelligence in the belief of chest pain, which includes heart pain. The next sentence is a relative statement, because it states the truth. It says spirit is immortal truth. And then it states about what is going on with human life. It says matter is mortal error. So anything that is not spirit is an error. It's a mistake. It's like saying 2 + 3 = 6 instead of 5. It is a mistake. And what do we do in mathematics when we see that there's a mistake? We replace it with the truth. 2 + 3 = 5. We don't try to correct 2 + 3 = 6. We get rid of it altogether because it is an error, and we replace it with 2 + 3 = 5. And that's true with any of the operators of mathematics. And the four operators of mathematics, as everyone knows, is add, subtract, multiply, and divide. Mathematics can't tell us exactly the truth, because mathematics can always be divided. In fact, some mathematics cannot resolve a problem. For example, 1 + 1 = 2, and that is easy to see that that is truth. But 1 / 3 is 0.3. 3333 ad infinitum. It never comes to a complete resolution. That's the same with 1 divided by 6, 1 divided by 9, 1 divided by 12, and so forth. They are all something that is not completely resolved. A number is only completely resolved if the far number to the right of the decimal is a zero. I have never claimed to be an expert mathematician, but there are some basic things that everyone can understand, even if they're not an expert mathematician. And I'm pointing out one of them. Now, we use numbers because they are very valuable in explaining certain things. For example, the Bible uses 7 as a number of completion. There are 7 days of creation, for example. There are 4 operators. So numbers are very practical to use to define certain things. Just as math has its operators and its 10 digits, so does the system of divine metaphysics have a certain number of digits and or a certain number of elements and a certain number of operators. It happens to have the same number of operators as mathematics, which is 4, and they are termed the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. The Word, very quickly, means the facts about God. The Christ means translating whatever we are faced with into spiritual terms. The Christianity term represents demonstrating the proof. In other words, if we know the facts about God and we translate it in looking through the lens of spirit, then we can go to step number 3, which is demonstrating the truth. And that means healing. That means resolving the fact that error has no basis. And the 4th is science. And the best way to see what is meant by science is by looking on page 115 and 116 of Science and Health. On those 2 pages, Mary Baker Eddy provides us with the 3 definitions, or 3 levels rather, of mortal mind, and the 4th, which is God. So that's the absolute, and she begins with the absolute, and then she goes down 1 step at a time, and the 3rd level of mortal mind is depravity. And of course, that's where all the problem is, because it means it's the total opposite of God. So if one would be experiencing chest pain, which includes heart pain, or any other pain in the chest, no matter what the term is, or anything else, because the same rules apply to every single ailment. But in thinking about whatever the ailment is, you incorporate that into this scientific statement of being. So when it says spirit is immortal truth, the next thing it says is matter is mortal error. So we could say that the belief of a chest pain, which includes heart pain or any other pain in the chest, that is a mistake. It is a mortal error. It has nothing to do with the immortal, has nothing to do with God, but it is a mistake. Just like 2 + 3 = 7 has nothing to do with mathematics, because it is a mistake. It is an error. It is not the truth about 2 + 3. And we can think about the system of divine metaphysics just like mathematics. If it's not true, we get rid of it and we find the truth. The same about chest pain, which includes any other pain, whether it's heart or whatever it is. And we think about, okay, well, what is chest? I don't see anything in the encyclopedia by Frederick L. Rawson on the term chest, so therefore I refer to a regular dictionary, and even in the 1828 Noah Webster, which is the most reliable for spiritual definitions, there's nothing special about chest. Basically, a chest is defined as something that is determined to be secure for holding something. Chests are referred to, for example, as a treasure chest or a hope chest, something where things are kept private. Often they have a lock on them. In other treatments, the word body has been explained, and the definition really of body from a spiritual standpoint is everything that is in our consciousness. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it is about a personal relationship, whether it is a business, whether it's family, whether it's an event, anything at all that is in our thought is considered our consciousness and therefore is our body. We could be thinking about going to some planet that is other than planet Earth. That is a part of our body because it would be a part of our thoughts. So if we want to think about what is in our chest, there's a lot of things inside, I presume. I've never studied about it. And as I've stated in other treatments, myself and the other kids in our family, which are really three sisters, the four of us were exempt from taking any classes in school that had to do with studying about the body or sicknesses or health, because our family relied on Christian Science for our health. And in fact, we were the only family that the school ever had with perfect attendance for all 12 years. So, all four of us had perfect attendance in school. To have one student have perfect attendance is extremely unusual, and I don't know that they had any besides our family. So, it can be seen that the study of Christian Science and the following of Christian Science for our family worked very well. And of course, it's been the same for me for my entire life, in which I've relied solely on Christian Science for my health and well-being. And as stated in other treatments, I've been protected, which is probably the only reason I'm alive. I fell out of a tree. I would estimate it was probably 35 or 40 feet. Landed on my back. I was in a car going 120 miles an hour. Did 2.5 360s due to a slick spot in the road. I raced motorcycles and cars, both at 200 miles an hour or more. I was in an accident in a vehicle, thrown onto pavement, going about 55 or 60 miles per hour. Got up and walked away. Happened to be a motorcycle, and I was not wearing a helmet or any other protective gear. In fact, I was wearing shorts and a short sleeve shirt. I had another accident with a motorcycle where I was driving on a road I had not been on before. And at the top, there was a stop sign that could not be seen until you were right on top of it due to the terrain. And the motor, I slammed on the brakes and the motorcycle went over on its side. and I was thrown off, and I went skidding between a two-lane highway with cars going both directions, but I went in between the cars, got up, walked away. I flew jet airplanes, never a problem. I could go on and on. Missed all the childhood diseases. Never missed a day of work or play. Used to play tennis 3 or 4 hours a day. I ran track in school, pole vaulted, high jumped. Anyway, I don't really want to talk anymore about myself. I just want to say that if one follows Christian Science, they are protected. We can't purposely do anything foolish and expected to be, but we will be protected if we're not doing what Jesus was tempted to do by the devil, and that was to jump off the cliff thinking that God will save me. If we consciously do something that is outside of intelligence, then we cannot expect to be protected. Well, getting back to the treatment, the chest is then basically a symbol for a container to hold things that are intended to be of value. So, what should our chest be composed of, and how about the parts inside the chest, the elements, the things that we store in there? Well, the container should be made out of spirit, which means that we are only going to be thinking about spiritual things. And no matter what the ideas or the thoughts are that we're thinking about, it must be of a spiritual nature if we expect the chest to protect it. Jesus said that thinking evil was the same as doing evil. So we cannot expect to be protected if we're thinking about evil. We cannot expect to be protected if we're talking about it, and certainly not if we're doing it. And that's why it's very important to understand what mind is all about, and particularly the omniscience feature of mind. And I'm talking about the divine mind, the mind of God, which is the mind that we should be reflecting, because omniscience includes intelligence, wisdom, and knowing. And not just a little bit of it, but it is infinite. It is without boundaries. God is omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, and omni-knowing. And therefore, there should be no limit to our ability to know everything we need to know, to be intelligent about everything we need to be intelligent about, and to be wise about every decision we make. I am sure when I was young that my mother was doing the protective work for me as well as my sisters, and probably my dad, although he was a very staunch and steady Christian Science student himself. But my mother certainly, I'm sure, took it upon herself to protect the four of us children as well as herself. Now, getting back to some more elements of the treatment, several years ago I made a list from Mr. Rawson's work from the book that is entitled Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. And that has a chapter on it called Applied Treatment, which is 202 pages. And we have that indexed. And there are a total of 1,315 ailments that he lists, giving a short description, and I mean very short, a few words, on each of the ailments. and he dwells on the counterfact. In other words, Mary Baker Eddy says that we should discover what the error is, and we should explain it away with the truth. We discover it, which is exposing it. Well, we have to expose it as well as discover it. Discover it might be considered the first step, and exposing it probably means giving details about anything that may be in our thought about it or that we can find out about it. But then the important thing is to explain it away with the truth. And Mr. Rawson gives us that counterfact about every one of those ailments that are in the book and which we have on the website in alphabetic order, easily to be searched, because there's an alphabetical menu with each alphabetical letter. So we can immediately go to the particular paragraph that talks about that particular ailment. So I picked out some that seem to be related, and this is several years ago, as noted, but seem to be related with chest pain, which would include heart and other things. So let me just give you the titles, and this short document, which I think is only a couple of pages, will give you the complete text. But for purposes of brevity, I will just give you the titles. And as with most things that are multiple, they are numbered for easy reference. Number one, blood circulation of. Two, heart. Three, relapse. Four, matter. Five, poison of the blood. Six, weakness. Seven, strength. Eight, exhaustion. Nine, organs internal. And yes, I see there are exactly two pages. Since the system of divine metaphysics is infinite, because it's based on God, then there is no limit to the avenues that one can pursue on any given topic. As one advances spiritually, they will find there are more avenues that are revealed to them. It is highly recommended that one make generous use of quality dictionaries when they are in the midst of study. There are many words that we have taken for granted as understanding what they really mean, when in fact, if we look at the derivation of the word, we may find an opening of a new dimension that we had never thought of previously. Therefore, word study is an important part of any scientific study. And the study of divine metaphysics is as scientific as one could ever imagine. One of the reasons for this is that most books that we are aware of include the opinions of the writer. J.B. Phillips was an individual that probably has translated the Bible with more spiritual animus than any other writer of which we are aware. Unfortunately, he only translated the New Testament. But fortunately, there is a resource for the entire Bible, and it is from probably one of the best Bible scholars that was ever on planet Earth, next to Mary Baker Eddy. And that is Dr. Robert C. Putnam. His doctorate is from chemistry, which is an excellent background for the discipline that is required to properly do research in the realm of the system of divine metaphysics. In doing any study, the use of the glossary is very important. That is chapter 17 of the 18 chapters in Science and Health with the Key to the Scriptures. And certainly don't skip over chapter 18, which is the fruitage chapter. And that is the verified statements by 85 different students of Mary Baker Eddy who state in their treatments that reading the Science and Health book is their only aid in bringing about the healing, which of course is based on God, but they're saying that they didn't have an outside practitioner and they didn't read other books. It was strictly the Bible and Science and Health. Some other things that one should keep in mind and review with every treatment is the definition of good, and that's on page 587, and it is God, Spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. So, in other words, the theory that destruction is an act of God, which is promoted by insurance companies, which is an industry that certainly could be cleaned up. And that is that in order to get out of paying for certain claims, they deem that it's an act of God. But the definition of God is good. The definition of good is God. Also, the word matter is not a part of anything to do with God, because God is spirit. Just check out that definition on page 587 of the word good. And it is right next to the definition of the word God, which is a little bit different than the one already related to you. And this one says God is the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. Principle, mind, spirit, soul, life, truth, love, all-substance, intelligence. So Mary Baker Eddy gives another thrust to the word of substance and intelligence at the very end. I think it's a reminder, do not be focusing on matter in any way, shape, or form, or ignorance. We need to be intelligent in everything that we're doing, and we need to realize that the substance of everything real is spirit. Very important definition, and very interesting how she gives emphasis to that. And also at the beginning, she says, the great I am, the, in other words, the only I am. So if we continuously say something like, I am this or I am that, or that person is this or that person is that, they better go back and read that definition and understand that the only I am is God. We are merely a reflection. We're not the I am. We are the reflection of the quality, if we are following the qualities, which hopefully we are, and which we should fine-tune more every time we give it any thought. Now, the other things besides I am that she emphasized at the beginning is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving, and eternal. So in other words, those qualities are qualities of God. So don't think we know a lot about something. Don't think we can see everything there is to see. Don't think we are acting the way that God is acting, unless we really are, because He is all action. Don't think that we're so smart that we can make every decision on our own. And are we really loving in a spiritual way? Or is it a material method, a material theme that is involved? And a reminder that God is eternal. God doesn't wear out. Can we wear out? Can our muscles wear out? Can we become weak? Can our heart wear out? Can anything wear out? Not if we reflect God. Not if we keep this definition in thought at all times. We can't do it. Because it's not a part of our being. It's not a part of our being because it's not a part of the being of God. We have to keep that door open to God all the time. Mr. Rawson made a wonderful instantaneous demonstration by realizing that God is all. He was gazing out a window along with a friend, Christian Scientist as well, named Spalding, and he is on our website as an author. And as they were gazing out the window, and this is like 110 or 115 years ago, where things were drawn not by motorized vehicles, but by animals, mostly. And they saw a man have a load full of rocks dumped on the man that was the driver as he went back to investigate something on the tailgate. He was totally covered up with the rocks. Something had alarmed the animal, and the animal raised up. As soon as Rawson saw this happening, he made the statement, "There is nothing but God." And with that, the man came rocketing out from underneath the rocks. Not a scratch or an injury in any way. He was totally, instantaneously healed. Mr. Spalding is the one that reported this, because as with most advanced Christian Scientists, they should be, and Mr. Rawson certainly is, very modest. The last part of any treatment should be to seal it. What I mean by that is that we should make a clear statement, something along this line. The truth in this treatment cannot be interfered with in any way. It cannot be diluted, deflected, the capacity of man, capability, functionality, the action, the spiritual nature cannot be interfered with in any way. Progress cannot be stopped or reversed. God is all in all. That means God is the only power, the only presence, the only science, the only action. I know this to be true because my knowing comes from the one and only infinite divine mind, which is God itself, the mind of God. Amen.